right. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Deeper Podcast here at Friendship CRC. I'm Austin Slater. This is Pastor Dan Kinnis. Dan, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Austin. Yeah, glad it's a little nicer out than it's been the last few days.
And, it's supposed to get up to like 49 degrees, at least in Kalamazoo tomorrow, which, I mean, I'm practically going to be breaking out the swim shorts at that point.
Yeah, considering we've been down closer to zero.
We've been dealing with wind chill down in Kalamazoo, down to like the negatives, which, if you ask me, any temperature that has a minus in front of it, I don't care if it's Fahrenheit or Celsius, That's too few degrees. We need more degrees.
It's a no-fly zone.
It's a no-fly zone for Austin. We're almost... It's hard to believe, first off, that next Thursday is Christmas.
Yeah.
That's wild to me. It feels like everything has gone so fast this year. Do you have any plans, Dan, you or your family or whatnot, for... There was that weird liminal space in time after Christmas... And until New Year's, that doesn't feel like any other part of the year.
Yeah.
Like, time is just weird mesh in there. Do you guys have any plans for that?
We do have a little. Our family lives out of town, both sides, and so usually we're trying to make space to see them around Christmas time. And so after Christmas, for a few days anyways, we'll be going down to Indiana where my wife's family lives and spend a couple days down there before coming back up, and that kind of... week of New Year's Day, then I do have a wedding I'm going to officiate, you know, right after New Year's Day, so we'll have some things to get ready for that. But yeah, for those few days after Christmas, we're going to enjoy some time with family, and hopefully the weather cooperates travel-wise then for decent driving. You never know, but
we can all hope. I did see someone, and I don't know if this is true or not, but that Indiana might have temperatures in the 50s or 60s.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see what happens with it. Yeah. Who knows at this point?
You never know.
You guys have
some plans?
Yeah, we're going up to the UP with our extended family. My whole biological... Oh, I dropped my notes here. One sec. My whole biological family is in the same continent for one Christmas. So we're all going to go up to the UP, spend some time together. It's going to be really good.
Yeah.
So some housekeeping, I guess. I was going to do this at the end, but I might as well do this at the front because it makes sense and it ties in. We will not be having any more deeper episodes after this until the new year starts. With, you know, Pastor Eric speaking and then us being out of town and it's a weird holiday week. We just decided that we're going to take a little bit of a holiday break. We are not going away permanently. We will be back January. January 7th, I believe, is the next planned release date. So mark your calendars for that. We got a lot of good stuff. Actually, a lot of great stuff coming up next year. I'm very excited for. But Dan, on to this week, or rather... last week, what did we talk about?
So in Advent, we've been thinking about making room, and we lost our first Sunday morning in Advent due to snowstorm.
So I guess we had to make room for
it. Yes, we had to make some room this week for two for the price of one. But we talked about making room for Christ, that being the foundation for all of this. Of course, when we think about Jesus' birth, he has come to make room for us in God's kingdom by saving us from our sins and making that possible for us. And so we talked about that week, how do we make room for Christ in our lives that can get very cluttered, push him to the margins. And really everything else we're talking about flows from that. You know, if we have room for our relationship with Christ, we see him, of course, as our Lord and Savior. Well, that impacts the way Austin and I relate, or I relate to any of the people around me. And so we spent some time this Sunday talking about a couple aspects of those relationships to our neighbors and the idea of making room for them in our lives. And so we talked about, from the vantage point of the shepherds, more connected with, what about other believers, other Christians who are different from us and sometimes very easy to put walls between us, even though we share this faith? How do we make room for each other so that we can be growing together, be sharpened by each other, and of course, growing closer to Christ? And then with the Magi, thinking a little bit bigger of a circle of this, okay, here's people who are seeking. They're coming from outside the faith, or maybe they've heard something of it, but don't certainly know much, and maybe haven't had that faith yet, but they're seeking Jesus, you know, and God's doing some work there. How do we make room for them? How can we be in conversation with them, helping point them to Jesus, of course, ultimately, but how do we go about doing that? While at the same time, of course, maintaining our faith, our, behavior as we follow the Lord and live out his character. So how do we keep those things in balance? So we did that in pretty compact fashion because we were doing a two-for-one special. But hopefully it stimulated a lot of thought, because these are relationships all of us have, mm-hmm. That if we think about it for a minute, could sometimes be challenging to actually be making room for these people in our lives. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I really appreciated it. Again, like, I wish we had 2 weeks, but we only had the one, so we've got to dive in. So I'm going to try and get through this fast. Sure. I got some quotes here, so I'm going to be reading a little bit more from my paper than I normally do. You mentioned that one of the best ways to make room for other believers is to listen to the faith stories of other believers and be willing to learn from them. So what, then, my question would be, is involved in listening and learning? Is it, you know, just the, like, I'm going to sit, let you talk, hear what you're saying, and then say my piece? What's involved with mm-hmm. listening and learning in this context?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good. I think it does start with that posture of just, hey, this person sitting next to me here has value. Right, especially as we're talking in the church, you know, we share that foundation, like we said in the message, of faith in Christ and trying to live by His word. And so I, you know, just to even start out with that basic, hey, this person is a fellow believer, brother or sister in Christ. It's valuable for me to hear of that journey that they've had, and maybe questions they have, or maybe struggles they have, experiences how God's come to bear in their lives. So even just that piece of valuing someone to say, I want to hear from you and your faith story and how God's been at work is a big part of it. I think there could be, on the learning side, there could be intellectual things that someone points out. Maybe I didn't think about this part of God's word that way, and it gets me thinking, oh, I hadn't ever really thought of that. I can be learning about God's word in that. It could also be just a human learning, too, that my story is not the only one, mm-hmm. that not everybody's just like me, even in the church, that people, yeah, maybe it's different types of music that have gotten through to someone's soul that's still very good and very Christ-centered, and or it's, you know, a different type of liturgy, or the way that God worked to bring the faith came about in a little bit of a different way. So there is that just learning that while we're all created in God's image, and in the case of fellow believers share this faith, nonetheless, we're not all just alike. And so there's even that, I think, just relational learning, mm-hmm. If maybe that's a better way to put it, of, yeah, just growing and seeing, like, oh, there's different ways to do this. And that's very good. I think it connects to Paul's image and metaphor of using the body for a picture of the church, all these different parts coming together, how we all need each other. And, you know, without one part or one part's hurting, the other parts all are feeling that. That's part of it, to see, oh, Austin's story is different from mine. And that's a good thing, mm-hmm. you know, and it's a shared story in Christ. That's the beauty of it. And yet we are stronger when we come together in that fashion.
Yeah. And here's a, I'm just pulling this off the top of my head because as you were talking, it struck me. But what is then the role of our own certainty in these, within the church discussions? Because, again, like, there's so many different denominations. Every one of us thinks, like, we have the exact grasp.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so a lot of the times when we're listening and I'm like, I hear what Dan's saying, but mm-hmm. I think that's wrong. Mm-hmm. So, like, how do we...
Right. I think the discernment, one, the wisdom of what am I disagreeing on? Like, the level of that? Mm. You know, is this like, okay, we're talking about... For instance, I'm studying Romans 7 a bit for our men's group. And Romans 7 is kind of, you know, controversial. Is Paul talking about his life pre-Christian experience or post when he's saying, you know, the good I wanted to do, I could not do, and all this and that? Well, and there's lots of, you know, points made on either side, and people end up falling, like, no, I think for this reason it was that. Well, that doesn't really impact the overall point going on there. It's interesting. It would maybe be helpful to have some clarity in some ways, but it's not impacting the gospel. It's more of a secondary thing that we might disagree on. So understanding, okay, Austin and I maybe have a different view on the sacrament of baptism. And yes, we can go to scripture. We could talk about that. I could be very convicted that, no, I think, you know, it's right that infants born in the church are baptized because of the grace of God and the covenant. And Austin might think, you know, oh, no, I think people should wait until the baptism when they are making that proclamation that this is what they believe. Here's the Bible reasons for that. We can disagree on that and still see our fundamental unity in Christ. And I think that's probably where we get in trouble, is when we start holding things that are smaller in nature way up high. And so I can still come away feeling like, oh, I heard Austin on that. I understand where he's coming from, not where I think Scripture's pointing in that case, or vice versa, right? So I think that's okay. It's when we start really slinging mud and then putting up walls that don't need to be there. Practically, sometimes in church function, when we're talking about maybe like the sacraments, it's hard if we have complete disagreement on how to handle the sacraments to have that in a local body together. Mm-hmm. So I understand. That's why there's a lot of different churches. I don't think that's all bad. But we put up lots of walls that aren't even biblical, right? I mean, well, you don't think politically what I do. Well, what does that have to do with necessarily the scripture and the message? But we do that more and more. And sometimes it gets very, very nuanced, even on these offshoots of the faith. So that's where I think we're starting to lose the plot.
At times. Well, and I really like your emphasis on like certainty on the things that matters.
Yes.
And hold on loosely to what doesn't.
Right.
I really like that perspective. Thank you. Another quote you had here, the best way to start making room for seekers is to have a heart for the people of the world while also having a criticism of worldly thinking. I think that makes a ton of sense. I just think that's really freaking hard.
It is.
And especially, you'll see a lot of this has popped up in some conversations in some church circles lately around the concept of empathy, which here would be having a heart for people, as I see it. Saying that, you know, we as a church have gotten way too soft. We've been too empathetic. We're not firm enough in our convictions. We're not hold, you know. And the way I wrote this down, I want to make sure I say the thing I want to say. We need to be more firm and caring less about how people feel or respond when their opinions and experiences differ from how we understand the world and the lived out parts of our faith and our relationship with faith. So in your opinion, Dan, how do we make sure people are actually going to be willing to listen to us and respond to us while also, again, remaining strong on the things that we should be strong on?
Right.
I might, my own thought might be that we might examine what is that thing. I feel like there's fewer things that we need to be really firm on.
Yeah.
That might be my thought, but I would love to hear your.
Yeah, I think sometimes, and I guess I've heard the argument too that, you know, being critical of maybe a way of thinking or that can be loving, right? Because you're trying to correct someone toward the truth. And I don't necessarily disagree with that, but I think the context of the relationship and the communication matters a ton for that. Because sometimes, you know, people are saying that and they're referring to like social media posts. Well, like, this is almost anonymous. And it's just going out like there's nothing there. Like nobody's, how are they going to hear that well versus, you know, say Austin and I live next door to each other. Mm-hmm. You know, he's been going to church. I have not. You know, I'm not in the Christian faith now. He is. And we have these conversations. Well, we talked a lot about it. I've seen Austin's character. I've seen how he lives. You know, we've built that relationship. And now we're having a conversation and I ask a question about something. And, you know, I think in that relationship, maybe have a little more space to say, I just don't think that's a healthy way of thinking. You know, I think this leads to just more pain and more, you know, that kind of following this idol or putting this thing on this pedestal or chasing after this, right? I think in the context of that relationship, the communication of questioning, being critical, of standing up for the Christian way of thinking can have an impact because, well, I don't just see your name on the internet. I know you, right? We've cooked meat together, perhaps, or we've, you know, I mean, we've shared life. You've watched my kids, or we've helped each other out, and I have a respect for your voice. Now, of course, the tone, if you all of a sudden just blew up at me and yelled at me, you know, that probably isn't going to go over well.
And that relationship might not be the same.
Right. But I think that's where, yes, I don't need to be swayed by, you know, the world's way of thinking. And that's some of, like, we are rightly critical of worldly thinking is to say that, yeah, we see that, no, this is the way God made us to. Doesn't mean I'm always telling everybody they're wrong. It's knowing that in myself, and then maybe there's opportunities that come up. For example, I remember when I was in Chicago still, before I went to seminary, I worked in construction, land surveying, and most of the guys I worked with had maybe a touch of church connection. A lot of them had no real faith. And we spent all day together often, a lot of times over the years. And so I know one, you know, he, after time, he would ask a question. Hey, I know you're a Christian. And he asked about abortion. Yeah, what's going on with that? Let's talk about it. It was an invitation to talk about it because we had talked about a lot of things and he felt comfortable asking. And then we did talk about it and I shared what, you know, my view was coming from Scripture. And he shared some of his own family experience with some of these things. And I don't know if he came away thinking entirely differently, But it was, I think, a way to make room for a conversation. Mm-hmm. And so I think that context really matters there of who am I talking to? Is there a relationship? Because, again, the goal is not just to say, look how bold I was. I spoke.
Look how well I defended that.
Right. Yeah. And that's where the heart for someone comes in, because my heart for them is to know Christ. Now, again, I sometimes, and knowing someone, and I can say this from coaching experience even, sometimes you need to get on somebody a little bit so they can hear it. I get that. But you don't know that unless you know somebody.
Right.
And are in that kind of relationship.
So then another phrase that you use that I kind of want to tie into that, you said, speak the truth of Jesus in a way that seekers can understand.
Would a fair paraphrase of that be like, don't worry about getting every detail perfectly correct. Get the main point across and trust Jesus to do the rest? That be a fair paraphrase? Or?
Yeah, in some way. So I was really thinking of, this is a starting point. So thinking of the star, and that's how God first gets through the Magi. This is their language.
Right.
They're astrologers. That's what they pay attention to. So they see the star. And it's their language, and it's pointing them to Jerusalem and to Jesus. And so I think the thought was, and maybe that's where the connection can come in, is if you're first talking with someone, they're maybe asking a question, and you want to speak to them, not in Christianese, as we would say it. You know, we use...
Which is I do want to, as you said that is such a real thing.
Oh, yeah.
I have had so many conversations lately with people who have never been in Christian backgrounds, who they're like, because, again, we've had these longer-term relationships where it hasn't been, like, pushy. So finally, recently, one of them was able to be like, Austin, when Christians say they want to just love on kids, that right. sounds so wrong.
Right.
He's like, I know they can't be saying what it sounds like they're
right.
saying.
What do you mean?
What do you mean by that? So I think a lot of the yeah. times our language, we don't even realize how the language we right. speak has been influenced by faith.
Sure. Oh, yeah, we're going to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Like, to someone else, that's... What are you talking about? And we see that even in the early church. They're talking about, you know, communion, the body and blood of Christ. And people thought they were cannibals.
Yeah.
You know, and like, what's going on? And brothers and sisters, all these people are committing incest. This is real misunderstandings right. that happen in the early church. So today, too, if I start talking just church language, right? Mm-hmm. You and I talk about grace and faith. We have a general understanding where we're coming from. But someone else, what are you talking about? What does that even mean? You referred to Hezekiah. Who's that? You know, like, who are these people? So starting out with someone who's maybe showing some interest, again, thinking of, like, yeah, where do they work? Where do they know that? What's some of their interests? We meet regularly. I gave the example with neighbors of cooking barbecue, right, or grilling something up. Some of my neighbors do that, too. That might be a place to start. If they're asking a question, try to relate it in ways they can understand. And then maybe you can get deeper. So, yeah, initially, we want to be pointing, of course, in the right direction. But yes, we don't have to be like, all right, let's make sure we're hitting the Nicene Creed here in this first conversation.
Yeah.
Let's just help them make that move. I gave the example of Paul in Athens when, again, these people don't know really anything. And, oh, I saw these idols and statues. I saw one to an unknown God. Hey, let's start there. I know this God that you marked as unknown. He's actually the God of everything. And he goes from there. And, hey, it's kind of like one of your poets said. And they're listening, and he goes deeper, and he talks about resurrection, and then some of them are like, well, all right, you're kind of crazy now. But some of them, hey, we want another hearing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he built that relationship. He showed an interest in where they were coming from. And that's really, I think, maybe to get to what Austin was saying, kind of your paraphrase, it's we want to get it all out at once and make sure we dot all the I's, yeah. cross every T. And at first it's just getting to the basics of the faith. Like,
we don't need to necessarily try and explain the Trinity before we explain, like, hey, Jesus died for you. We were all sinners. Christ died for you.
Right. Let's get Jesus.
Because as it is, I don't think I could currently give a good non-heretical description of what the...
Right.
You know, it's like every time I try and describe the Trinity, it's probably going to fall into some form of heresy.
Sure.
It's mysterious. It's mysterious. It's confusing. Yeah. We don't need to worry about some of that stuff when we're like, hey, we are all sinners, Christ. Again, like, and I think part of it could be also like, don't try and make people drink from the fire hydrant.
Yeah.
It's like, let's have a glass of water first. Let's start with what's manageable, and then we can deal with all the rest of this stuff.
Right. Yeah, because again, we were in the context of talking about someone who's seeking.
Yeah.
So they're just coming away. They're just taking a stop at the drinking fountain, and they want to see, is this something I want to keep doing? And so you want to... Again, you show that relational care, that you have room for them. You want to have the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just trying to bring them a little closer. to Jerusalem. You know, come on the way. And if it's something they're interested in, like, you know, sometimes I'm a sports guy, right? That's a way for me. Like, other people like sports. Like, hey, let's watch a game. And we hang out, and the conversations come up, and I can use sports to tie that in. You know, exercise. I mean, mm-hmm. these are things I know well. Someone else, it might be artwork or right. music or something like that. So,
yeah.
No, it's a good question. I think that's, and again, this wisdom of the Holy Spirit for us to know kind of when that moment comes and we can really say, like, hey, this is the heart of it.
Yeah, so. For sure. What are we talking, and I guess I can say, what are we talking about for the rest of the year, Dan?
Yeah. It is hard to believe we're almost at the end of 2025. Man, time goes quicker, it seems like. But, yeah, so we're going to have one more sermon on this series of Making Room, and Pastor Eric's going to be leading that this coming Sunday. I joked with him that I gave him the hardest one because we're going to talk about a bit of making room for enemies. You have Herod the Great in the text around Jesus' birth, and clearly up to no good, trying to actually take Jesus' life. He's threatened by this child who was born, yet a fellow human being. How do we make room for people like that? And again, it's one thing to think on this large-scale government-type figures, but lots of us have people in our own lives who have opposed us, who have maybe caused harm to us, who are, for lack of a better word, kind of an enemy. How do we make room for them? And maybe it's just as simple as starting by praying for them, but God turns people around, too. The Apostle Paul was an enemy of the church, became...
In as much of an explicit enemy as I think you can get, you're not even... At least here in the U.S., you're probably not going to get anything near as opposed to the church as Paul was.
Right. Out and out looking
to destroy. Out and out, like, going to kill as many Christians as he could.
Right, right. So, yeah, just that idea of what does that look like for us? Oh, the foundation, and I know he's going to highlight this, of while we were his enemies, Christ died for us. And that thinking of course, Jesus' way and his teaching and how, yeah, doing that can open the door even for those we think, this could never happen for them to know Christ and maybe be enfolded. But, yeah, it's a different challenge for us in that regard. So that's this coming Sunday. We're also going to have our candlelight service Sunday evening. That's a little different service, a lot of readings from Scripture, songs we love, using the lighting there for just kind of creating that atmosphere. And then Christmas Day, Christmas morning, we'll be together at 9:30 a.m., about a week. And we'll just, again, yeah, it's a little different type of service. But we're going to reflect there a little bit on Isaiah 52. How lovely on the mountain the feet of those who bring good news, announcing this really victory of God. And in the coming of Jesus, this is the announcement of that good news, that the salvation and kingdom of God are now here. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we'll talk about that. And then the last week of the year, actually, as I mentioned, I'm going to be out of town. We'll have a guest pastor here with us who will be leading the service that Sunday morning. And then we'll get into the new year, and probably fittingly, at least to start out the year, we're talking about what are the things that are essential to our faith. Well, we're going to talk about the Nicene Creed. 1,700 years since that was first drafted up there in the Council of Nicaea, so it seems fitting to visit that for a couple weeks, and really a wonderful document to say these are the things that tie us together. These are the things that matter. Who is God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit? What does that mean for us and our salvation? So as we get into January, first few weeks, we plan to visit a bit with that. So
great. Ah, so much good stuff. Well, thank you, Dan, so much for your time. Thanks to all of you, part of the Friendship community, for being a part of this. We love this. We look forward to this. And we're going to miss this, honestly. It's going to be kind of weird to have a few weeks with no deeper like this. But go in peace. Have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful holiday season. Merry Christmas. And we will see you all next year.